Our text from Matthew 5 is verses 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, at our communion services, we've been looking at the Beatitudes. The word Beatitudes mean the beauty of, the characteristics of, or even better, the perfections of the child of God. The character of the believer, the child of God, as he travels through this world. And it begins with being poor in spirit. Poor in spirit because as we, this past week, examined ourselves, we see all manner of sin within ourselves. There is no good. And therefore we mourn. Therefore we are humbled into the dust. And we look away from ourselves and we look to our God and we hunger and we thirst after the righteousness of God. That's really the climax of the Beatitudes. And filled with God's righteousness then, we are merciful even as He is merciful. We are pure in heart even as He is pure. We are peacemakers even as He has made peace with us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now our text. Verse 10 is seen by many as another beatitude. It is not a beatitude. There are seven beatitudes that go before. Those are the characteristics of the child of God. And what we have in verse 10 and verses 11 and 12 that are an elaboration of verse 10 is not a characteristic, but rather it is the result. What we can expect for being who we are and what we do. Now you ask, what is the relation then? What is the connection between our text and the seven beatitudes that go before there? And what Jesus is telling his disciples and he's telling his church today is, this is what you can expect in the world that you live in. When you live for Christ Jesus, when you look like Him, others will hate you and persecute you and revile you and speak evil of you falsely for His sake. And the question now comes, how will you and I react when others hate us, despise us, revile and mock us for who we are and how we act as children of God? What will be your attitude towards such persecution and ridicule? God's word says, blessed are they that are persecuted. Blessed. Strange. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Notice the persecution that arises, the occasion for that persecution, and then thirdly, the blessedness of that persecution. Persecution arises. Expect it. It can be traced through all of history. You and I who know our Bible history know that that is the case in sacred history, isn't it? It began there already in Adam's family, didn't it? Cain saw Abel's faith. And he saw that Abel was accepted by God. And he hated him and killed him. That hatred, that persecution builds. Builds so that there's hardly any room anymore for Noah and his family living in their generations. Righteous Enoch, hated, despised, so that God took him. Ishmael, mocking his brother Isaac so that he has to be sent away. Esau, seeking the life of Jacob so that Jacob must flee to his uncle Laban. And when he returns from his uncle Laban, Esau meets him with a band of mighty men. There was a persecution of the Israelites in Egypt. There were the enemies of Israel when wandering through the wilderness and when they entered into the land of Canaan and when they settled there. Continual battles. There was the opposition that Moses received from his own family members and other leaders in the church. The murmuring of the children of Israel against their Redeemer. David's life sought. Prophets that were imprisoned and stoned and killed. The life of Jesus Christ. He came to his own and his own received him not. Moving on into the New Testament, the apostles, the early church, Reformed believers. In the 1500s, persecuted by the church, ridiculed. Not something of the past, but many of us have even endured that kind of bitterness or reviling or mocking by family members or by others who live around us or those who work with us because of our faith, because of the truths that we stand for. Growing only worse. Yes, through all of history, the saints have been persecuted. And it will only increase in the last days, in the great tribulation. Oh, there have been great periods in the past of persecution at various epochs, the long history of the church. And there's even darker clouds on the horizon. Listen, young people, listen, boys and girls. We're not going to be favored, we're not going to be loved, but increased opposition, hatred, reviling, mockery. Christians today, imprisoned or even killed by Muslims or by Hindus. And even while we enjoy relative freedom here in the United States, those days are numbered. Be prepared to expect greater persecution. Using the freedoms of the land against the church that refuses to compromise. Persecution. Because the devil is behind it. Because the devil attempts to destroy Christ's church. That's why the Apostle Paul writes that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, yes, it is flesh and blood too, But we wrestle not against merely flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. That devil that was unable to snatch up the Christ child that he tried to kill all through the Old Testament, tried to prevent the coming of Christ, unable to do so, now goes after Christ's bride, the woman in the wilderness. In that way, Satan and the wicked seek to attain their goal, eliminate the church. Turn her away from Christ or eliminate her through death. In our passage, Christ points out the various forms of persecution. Especially two forms are mentioned. The wicked will, first of all, revile you. Or as Jesus says later on, they will speak evil of you falsely. That's an important word there, falsely. May they not speak evil of us because we've compromised. May they not speak evil because we do evil. But when we stand for Christ Jesus and we stand for his truth, they will speak evil of us for that very reason, because they oppose Christ and they oppose the truth. Oh, they will revile you. Bring evil accusations. Twist your words and your actions. They'll laugh and they'll ridicule you. They'll say to you, young people, oh, you won't join this party that we're going to have. Oh, you won't engage with us in this activity. Are you too good? Laugh and ridicule you. Many of us have had to endure that, haven't we, from even family members or extended family members. And when they're unable to sway you from your persuasion by the ridicule and the mockery and the laughter, then active persecution. Denied work. There are many jobs that we as members of the Church of Jesus Christ cannot have. They're taken away from us because we say, no, we're not going to work on the Sabbath day. No, we will not join the ungodly unions. No, that kind of job is not fitting with the job of a child of God. They'll make it difficult for you, making it hard even to earn a living in the last days. Hunted down. Put into prison. Put into death. Beloved, that's going on in the world today as it has gone on before and is only going to increase even in this land of freedom. Don't think that in this land of freedom, in this age, that somehow humans are too civilized to persecute. No, in fact, they're going to use those very freedoms against us. Freedoms to live the alternative lifestyle and don't criticize it. Freedoms to say whatever they want, write whatever they want, and no opposition allowed. Hatred and the attempt to eliminate all those who don't conform to the policy and the lives of the ungodly. That's the age we live in. Jump on the ship, join us, but don't stand against us or otherwise we'll alienate you and eliminate you. Persecution. And where may we expect this persecution to arise from? Oh yes, certainly from the wicked world that we live in. Always the heathen hate the light, are opposed to that light. But not just the wicked world, but from the church, from the nominal church. Where did the opposition come from against the prophets? And it came from the church, from Israel itself. Where did the opposition come from for Jesus Christ? It was the religious leaders, wasn't it? It was his own. Where did the opposition come from, first of all, for the apostles and for the early church? It came from their Jews. Where did the opposition come from those who held to the Reformed faith, that rediscovered the Reformed faith? It came from the church. So not just the wicked world, but from the nominal church. And thirdly, we can expect it even from our families. From our families. Cain hated Abel. Esau hated Jacob. Ishmael mocked Isaac. Families that apostatize, families that have compromised, families that say this is the culture that we live in, we have to adjust to that culture and be like the culture, they will stand opposed to those who remain steadfast in God's word and say, no, it's wrong. Opposition to those who stand for the truth. Persecution arises and will increase. Notice when the second of all, then, the occasion for that persecution. Blessed are they that are persecuted, and the persecution that is spoken of here is not simply the opposition of man against man. Oh yes, there is that in the world, isn't there? There is hatred, there is war and rumor of war, black against white, one nation against another nation, the rich over against the poor. Yes, there's persecution there. But that is not the persecution that our text is talking about. The persecution that is spoken of is not because we are foolish, or because we're obstinate, or because we're seeking power or a position. Yes, many of those people are hated and opposed. But that's not the opposition that Christ is talking about in our text. But the persecution that is spoken of is because the child of God is a certain type of person. And because the child of God behaves in a certain way. The persecution comes because you and I, by grace, are like Jesus Christ, and we act like Jesus Christ, and therefore we can expect persecution. Jesus says in John 15, verse 18 and following, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye are of the world would love you, own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Persecution because by grace we are made like Christ. And by grace act like Christ Jesus. When we read here, blessed are those who are persecuted. There are two errors that Christians have been involved in the past. There are those who have considered it virtuous to seek persecution. They went out of their way to be persecuted, to be made martyrs for the faith. In other words, they made themselves targets. I'm thinking of, for a while back, and I don't know whether the man was religious or not, but it was in the news of the mechanic who makes an announcement that he's not going to fix any more cars for anyone that lives a gay lifestyle. What a foolish statement. Who, when fixing cars or building houses, asks exactly about the lifestyle of particular people? Their job is simply to fix the cars or to build the houses or whatever the labor is. But the man was making himself somehow a target to express his hatred against those kind of people. We don't make ourselves target. We don't seek to be persecuted. When there is persecution, we may seek to flee from it. Moses did leave Egypt. The Apostle Paul did escape from Damascus when they were seeking his life. And from various cities later on, when the hatred and the bitterness increased, the Apostle Paul would move on to another location. The Lord Jesus was hated and he would move from place to place because his time was not yet come. So first of all, it's not virtuous to seek persecution, to say things and do things in order to get the hatred of the world against us. Question comes, how do we deal with persecution when it comes? There are others, this is the other extreme, the error, they readily deny Christ Jesus to avoid persecution. They go out of their way to be pleasing to the world and not to ruffle any feathers. And I put before you and I put before myself this question. Is it possible for us to confess Christ in our hearts, yet deny him with our actions? Is it possible to confess Christ in our hearts and yet to deny him with our actions? When co-workers or other students tell ungodly jokes, do we just laugh along with them and join them in their jokes? When people put things, evil things, on Facebook or Twitter, do we say we like it? Do we live in the world as we're part of the world, like the world, of the world, or are we different? Is your and my life distinctive, peculiar, a godly life? We don't seek persecution, but neither do we avoid it at any cost. Positively, one is persecuted for righteousness' sake. He is persecuted, she is persecuted because they live a righteous life in the midst of this world. Living a righteous life because we've been made righteous by God in Christ Jesus. The very righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. We are justified. But the fruit of justification is sanctification. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, making us holy, purifying us, so that we are a kingdom of priests, so that we are a holy nation, so that we are a peculiar people that declare the glories of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are persecuted for living an antithetical life. We live for what we stand for. And then we stand out. Probably the easiest thought of persecuted for righteousness is we're persecuted because we are like Christ. Remember that little phrase. Persecuted for being like Christ or of Christ. Christ's body. And we're not ashamed. We're not ashamed of our connection with Christ. And we're not ashamed for standing upon the truths of His Word. We stand like Luther did and said, "Here I stand, I could do no otherwise." Not ashamed. The Apostle Paul had to write to young Pastor Timothy. There had been others that had deserted the Apostle Paul because of his afflictions, because of his imprisonment. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All those who live godly, holy lives in Christ Jesus. That's the idea of our passage. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we're persecuted then because as the righteous ones by grace, we are a living testimony against the wicked. Cain hated Abel because he was a living testimony. His sacrifice was acceptable to God, and he hated it. Enoch was hated, was hunted down, because he was a living testimony prophesying against the wickedness of the world that he lived in. Do not think that the world has moderated its view toward the teachings of Christ, the teachings of God's Word. They hate the righteous and will seek to destroy it. Expect that. Don't be surprised. In Luke chapter 6, we read in the 26th verse, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers at the false prophets." Living godly lives in Christ Jesus will not make us popular. We will not be praised by everyone. And the reason is because the natural mind is enmity against God. We might ask a question here. If we are not hated, if we are not mocked, if we're not ridiculed, if we are not evil spoken of falsely, why not? Is our life not distinctive? The world loves those that are like it. Is your and my life distinctive? The way we act, the way we speak, the way we dress, the way we conduct our businesses, the way we conduct our marriages and our families. I can remember one neighbor of mine once saying to someone else, "He must be part of a cult. He's so different." That's a compliment. That is a compliment, child of God, if the world sees light over against the darkness and hates it. Persecuted, later on, Jesus says, why? For my sake. Verse 11. They speak against us falsely for Christ's sake. We live this way not for personal gain. We live this way not in order to somehow get something. We live this way not because we're stubborn or we're proud. The Beatitudes already said we're humbled by our sins. But we live that way for the sake of Jesus Christ in this world. A testimony to Him and about Him and His kingdom. We are identified with Christ Jesus. We have become like Him. And now the blessing, the promise. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. At first reading, that might seem like an apparent contradiction. One would think that to be persecuted is an awful thing. It's a cursed thing. It's something to be hated, something to be avoided at all costs. How can I get along in this world? But Jesus Christ, the King of the Church, the King of the Kingdom, says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So the question comes, how are we to react in this persecution? How do you react when others speak falsely about you, when they revile you, when they mock you, when they persecute you, when they make your life miserable? God's word tells us, first of all, negatively, not retaliating. Don't retaliate, but turn the cheek. That's difficult to do, isn't it? But look at our Lord, our Savior. He did not retaliate against those who did evil against Him. But it's a hard thing to do. It's hard to do because by nature we have the instinct of self-preservation. Don't retaliate. Second of all, don't feel resentment. You see, we not only have to control our response, control our actions, our reply, but we're not content with just curtailing our reply. But don't resent that persecution. Don't say, it's not fair. Why me? Feeling hurt about it and resenting it bitterly. Don't retaliate. Don't resent it. Thirdly, don't be depressed about it. That's why the Apostle Paul writes to young Pastor Timothy. Others had left Paul. Timothy was a timid man. And the Apostle Paul says, expect it. Those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Don't be cast down, Timothy. Don't feel generally unhappy about this. Don't say, why is this? Why am I treated this way? Fourthly, don't compromise. That is, don't join in when they ridicule and they mock you and say, well, come on and join us. It's a lot more fun. We don't join the wicked in order to be accepted as part of the gang. Rather, our text says, verse 12, rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Boys and girls, remember in catechism, in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, he and Silas were there in jail in Philippi. Whipped, beaten, chained like animals to the wall. And how did they react? There were songs in the night. They were singing and rejoicing that they were counted worthy to fill up the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Rejoice. Why rejoice? not in the persecution itself. That is to be regretted. In other words, it gives you and me grief, doesn't it? It ought to. It gives us grief that family members. It gives us grief that the nominal church out there. It gives us grief that the wicked, because of sin, act that way. It gives us grief that they act that way because they're motivated by Satan to behave that way. We sorrow, really, for them. But we rejoice. We rejoice in who we are by God's grace, and we rejoice in the life that He has given us to live as a light in the midst of darkness. We rejoice because it's a proof to the child of God who He is. I am persecuted because by grace I am like Christ Jesus. I am hated because as the master is hated, so also his servants are hated. Blessed are the persecuted. How? There are several spiritual advantages. What is the advantage that the church is persecuted? First of all, it serves to purify the church. Purify the church when hypocrites leave because of fear of persecution. They leave and the church is thinned. And then you and I find out who our real friends and companions are. Yes, boys and girls, young people, if your friends mock you and ridicule you because you stand on God's word and you strive to live a godly life and you say no to some of their evil things, rejoice. They're not your real friends, are they? They're not the companions that are going to help you on the way to grace. The Apostle Paul felt that in his life. They left him. But second of all, the spiritual advantage of being persecuted is it teaches us as God's people our dependence upon Jehovah. I'm weak. The enemy often is strong. Look away from ourselves and depend upon Jehovah, who is our help, who is our rock, who is our defender, who is a very present help in trouble. We enjoy the blessedness of persecution when it comes. For we are linked to Christ Jesus Himself in our persecution. We are linked to the church. For we are, as Jesus says, persecuted as the prophets that went before us. We are blessed, thirdly, because we have that blessed reward in heaven. Ours is the kingdom of heaven. What a reward that is, a reward not of merit because of something we did, but all of grace. Blessed because of all that the kingdom involves. Forgiveness of our sins. That's what we celebrate as we come to the table. The righteousness of Christ Jesus given to us, imputed to us. Our adoption as sons and daughters and the hope of eternal glory. Yes, we are encouraged when we suffer for Christ's sake. For as the Apostle says, our light afflictions work for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Fellowship with Christ in His sufferings and what He has done for us in His righteousness. Come to the table full of faith, rejoicing. That by grace we are made like Him, and He is pleased with us. Amen. Let's go to the form.